Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. With $32 off for 1 week only and free shipping, you can try the Thunderstorm Air Purifier for less than $100. Get the Eden Pure Thunderstorm today at EdenPureDeals.com with code Howie32. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code Howie32 for $32 off and free shipping.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
And welcome to The Grace Curley Show. And obviously, this is not Grace. I am Toby, and I'm hosting till 3 o'clock today and Monday from noon to 3 for the Vacationing Grace. And I'm happy to be on the number one midday talk radio show in Boston. And I'm happy you're here with me. So we'll continue to take your calls in this hour. It's been some great calls and some great spirited discussion around guns, including some that are abysmally made. But, you know, for the most part, I would like to point out to Enrico that there are still some really good gun makers out there. And but one thing you have to do is, and it's come for me, I've had this major paradigm shift in the last 5 or 10 years, that where I used to be like, I wanted all the guns for myself. I'd want to buy as many guns as I could. Now that I own a gun store, I actually have less guns than I did before I bought the, you know, started the gun store. But I've gone for quality over quantity. I have saved up a little bit here and there and bought some nice guns and sold some nice guns, but there's still some great manufacturers out there like Nighthawk Customs. And I actually did a shooting event this morning with Rob Pincus, who was our guest in the first hour. We did an episode of Toby Takes on the World, which is this little video series we're doing where I shoot against guests and employees and whoever else wants to shoot against me. A lot of the people are guests on our radio show, and I'll try to get them out on the range. And we'll have a friendly little, contest, shooting contest. And so we did one this morning before the coffee was even drank, and out on the range with the Nighthawk Customs 1911 10 millimeter. It was the Falcon. It's a handmade gun, old world craftsmanship, and one gunsmith, one gun, and it's a phenomenal gun. And I know people are going to say, yeah, but that gun costs $4,000. And it's like, yeah, it does. It costs $4,000 or $5,000 for a really good, well-made, handcrafted gun. If you get into mass production, the cost is going to go way down. The quality is also going to go down. But I don't believe you sacrifice reliability in any way, shape, or form by having a mass-produced, you know, gun for the masses. And so, yes, I can see Enrico's point that back in the day, the mass-produced gun might have been made into a higher standard or a higher level of quality that it is now. But you got to remember that, the factory worker job back then might have looked a lot different than it does now. I don't know if that has any impact on it, or now things are done robotically and, through CNC machinery and CAD and everything else. So, but I don't think that's a bad thing. For the average person, I like the fact that guns are affordable and accessible and, you know, they're good quality and reliable for the most part. All right, let's get back to the phones. Paul, you've been on hold forever, so I apologize. Thanks for holding. How are you today?
I'm good, Toby. How are you doing today?
Great, thanks.
Awesome. So I know you're the gun guy, but I was also wondering, I've been doing some shooting since I was about 10 off and on, and I wanted to start to get into competition shooting more. I was wondering if you had any like brand recommendations if I wanted to get some kit gear, like a range belt for a holster and maybe some mag pouches and stuff. So what would you recommend for that stuff?
Yeah, I mean, just for just starting out, I would suggest you could, you know, there's a number of different companies like Safariland and Bianchi that make kind of everyday accessible stuff without getting real custom. There's a lot of companies making battle belt gear to, you know, Tactical Tailor and some of those companies, but they get very pricey quick. But if you're looking to get into competition stuff, I would start out with some lower price gear just to get your feet wet with it. That way you don't end up regretting an expensive decision, and you can kind of, track your gear and realize what you like, what you don't, and then start to replace it with good quality. But Safari Land, I would say, is probably one of the leaders of the everyday, you know, accessible gear without getting into full custom stuff. And they make a wide variety of mag pouches and holsters and belts and stuff for the everyday shooter. One thing I would say, getting in on the ground floor, if you're doing competition, you're going to be at matches that take time, right? There's a lot of downtime at matches. And most matches, you can't, unless you go over to a safe table to take your gun out, you can't really just touch your gun during the match. So people put they have these two layer belts. One has an inner layer that goes through your belt loops with a Velcro on the outside. And then the battle belt with some sort of belt buckle, if you will, that snaps around it, adheres to that Velcro so that you can just basically pop the buckle and take the whole belt with all the mag pouches and belt off real easily and put it in your range bag, et cetera, without having to take the gun on and off, you know, and whatnot. So it quickly and easily comes on and off. So when you don't want to get fatigued by walking around with the heavy belt all day, you can easily pop it off. So I would definitely get one of those two layer belt systems with the Velcro on the inside and the outer belt. But it's a great sport. My daughter is 12. She just started getting into some competition shooting, and it's great to hear that you started young. I think that would be a huge plus if people would take their kids to the range and teach them gun safety at a young age and get them shooting and introduce them to the awesome way of life that guns and shooting sports and collecting and, just shooting at the range is. So good luck with that, Paul. I hope you have some great success and, more importantly, have a lot of fun and bring some people with you. So how old are you now, Paul?
I just turned 17.
All right. That's awesome. So that's great. I think there is no better advocate for the gun movement than young generation of responsible kids that are doing a great job. And I don't mean to say you're a kid, but you grew up starting at 10 and putting on a good face of responsible gun ownership and wanting to get involved in the competition sports is awesome. So good luck with that. I appreciate the call. Eric, you're next on the Grace Curley Show. Thanks for holding, Eric.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for what you do. I think this is a great service for everybody to be educated and be able to ask questions. So, I've been shooting since I was a kid. I got my first permit when it was a paper permit, and it covered everything, in the late 80s.
Mm-hmm.
So I've watched the deterioration and how they've made it more difficult through the years, like you were talking about earlier. I appreciate that. But I'm calling because, so my wife, she was a fiance back then, but she was interested in, getting a firearm for herself. She was working in Boston's shady areas at some points, and she looked into it. She took the class, really enjoyed it, but she caught wind that one of the questions is, do you take any medication for, I think, mood or something like that? She takes a mild antidepressant. I forget what it is. It's very common, but it turned her off. She got cold feet. Hasn't bothered since. She just feels like, they're going to say no. And I don't know, she's a little embarrassed too. But I think I don't know if you've answered this question before. I catch your show quite a bit, but I might have missed this before.
Yeah, no, it's a very fair question, Eric. And I am not aware if they ask if you are on any type of medication. I do know, like, when you buy a gun on the federal 4473 form, there is a question, are you addicted to any, prescription or illegal drugs? And marijuana is listed as one of them. So some of the people with a medical marijuana card have become prohibited people because they They're in this weird position where they can't answer that question truthfully. They're not necessarily addicted, but they are a user of an illegal substance federally. But I don't think they ask it on the application process for the license to carry. I honestly can't remember. I've filled out probably four or five different applications for my license to carry, but I don't ever remember them asking what or to list what type of medications I was on. And I know if you're on some sort of antidepressant or something like that, that's not a preclusion to you getting your license. So it does not prohibit you from exercising your Second Amendment. And I would hope that she will reconsider and apply, because just because you're on some sort of medication does not make you a prohibited person or that you have to answer for it. So I think that she'll be in good shape if she goes and applies. I will say in Boston, it's a little tougher to get a truly unrestricted license to carry in the areas around Boston. They like to limit it to target hunting or something like that. But hopefully she will apply and reconsider. So give her my encouragement to do so. So thank you, Eric, for the call. And that kind of goes a little bit along with a texter who texted in. And the question was, if you have been diagnosed as having autism, does that preclude you from getting your license to carry? And so I reached out to a lawyer friend of mine, Jason Guida, who does some great work here in Massachusetts. And he said, nope, there's no law that would prohibit you from applying for your license to carry if you have been diagnosed with autism. But he said, don't put it past a local chief from like grilling you on it and maybe wanting to restrict it to target hunting or something like that. And I don't believe there's any legal constraint or legal obligation on your part to even proffer that information. So I would just, you know, don't ask, don't tell, if you will, and unless they start asking questions or, you know, because they technically can't go into your medical records. So, you know, I would say it should be fine. So go ahead and apply there. So anyway, Paul, if you want to hold on, we'll get to you after the break. And you're listening to The Grace Curley Show. I'm guest host Toby Leary, and we will be right back.
Grace Curley is your perfect lunch day.
Bread, $2 extra.
$2, but everyone in front of me got free bread.
You want bread?
Yes, please.
$3!
What?
Nothing for you!
This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. I'm your guest host, Toby Leary, and thank you for joining us today. We will be here all day on Monday as well from noon to 3, taking your questions about whatever you want to talk about. And we have a poll question. Jared, what is the poll question today? And, today's poll question is brought to you by none other than Cape Gunworks. I know those guys. They're pretty good. I hear they do a pretty good job, and they're down on Cape Cod. You can check out their state-of-the-art gun range, unbeatable selection of guns, ammo, and accessories. Go to Cape Gunworks in Hyannis or at capegunworks.com. So go ahead. Now, what is the poll question?
Which social media app are you more likely to use now? Twitter, Truth Social, or both?
I am going to say both is probably pulled back in the lead, but I am just guessing. And I will use Truth Social once it's available, and Cape Gunworks can be found there. So, but anyway, what are the results?
39% say Truth Social is in the lead, 37% say both, and 24% for Twitter.
Wow, interesting. All right, well, there you have it. Truth Social is taking the lead. But anyway, Paul, you've been holding forever and a day. I appreciate your holding. You're next on The Grace Curley Show. How are you?
Toby, hello. I like when you fill in for Grace. I like your segment once a week. Question, without getting into the specifics of my background, how do you deal with people who accuse you of being, not you maybe specifically, but I've had that accusation, you're a gun nut. How do you deflect that? Before your answer, I'm just a big Second Amendment guy. I believe the Second Amendment protects
all the rest. I'm curious how you come at this. Have you been accused of that? And again, how you handle that question?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And it's kind of funny. I think it kind of goes with the turf. Like, I don't think I'm going to be able to deflect or change anybody's mind who is that like raging of, you know, that it's basically someone who doesn't have the intellectual argument to sit there and point and counterpoint, take you on head on the ideological argument of should we have guns or not. So then they defer to, oh, you're just a gun nut. But the bottom line is I make myself available to anybody. Like, I remember I was on the radio probably 7 years ago after a local group of people were like standing out with picket signs and saying, you know, we're against gun violence and whatever. And I kind of took them to task a little bit on the radio and said, hey, just for your information, I'm a gun owner who's against violence by people with a gun. You don't get the right to co-opt that term because you feel that people shouldn't have guns. Like, there's people with guns that don't want to see bad guys running around killing people with guns. So they kind of said, well, wait a minute here. I never really thought of that. So they invited me to speak at their organization, which was kind of cool. And so I walked into the Lion's Den and said, hey guys, I'm the gun guy here to tell you why you should be okay with us having guns. And they're all, you could feel half the room instantly lock up. But I started to make an intellectual argument for why, like Rob Pincus said in the first hour, people with guns, you know, walking around with guns, and, you know, 50 million people in America now walking around with guns, and the rivers of blood in the streets hasn't happened. It just has, you know, it hasn't happened. So the fact of the matter is the American people are very responsible with their right to keep and bear arms and have put on a great example. But I think the number one way to kind of combat that, like, just illogical argument of calling you a gun nut is to say, well, have you ever shot a gun? No, I'd never touch a gun. Well, how do you know you wouldn't like it? Because it's a gun. It's a bad, scary thing. Well, why don't you come to the range with me someday? And this group that invited me to speak, I asked the two founders of this organization to come to the range. They did. They ended up taking one of my classes. They came to the range, and they've come back several times whenever the issue of like suppressors or long, you know, AR-15s or high capacity magazines have come up. They've come in and I've said, let's go back out to the range. I'll show you what a suppressor is like. I'll show you what, you know, this gun is like. And, you know, it showing people is a lot better than just getting into a endless argument. So my hat's off to you, Paul, that you've become a Second Amendment advocate. And I would say show them rather than sit there and enter into some mindless debate that may or may not end well. So good job. And hopefully that makes sense. So yeah, but I appreciate your work on that. And Tom, you're next on the Grace Curley Show. Oh, we don't have time. All right, we'll take you after the break, Tom. Hold on. We're going to be right back. You're listening to the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. 844-500-4242 is the phone number if you want to be on the line. I am Toby Leary. I'm guest hosting or filling in for the Vacationing Grace, and she will be back Tuesday. I will be filling in for her on Monday as well from noon to 3. So if you want to join us then, you're more than welcome to. We'll have another great action-packed show for you. But 844-500-4242, and we've been taking your calls, mostly about gun stuff, but I'll throw the door open to whatever you want to step into and talk about. I'm here to talk about it. But Tom, I told you to hold on over before the break, and you did, so you're next on the Grace Curley Show. How are you, Tom?
I'm good. And just listening to Joe Biden just stumbling his words, speaking off the cuff, you know, I noticed something. When President Obama was in front of a teleprompter and then he was in front of a crowd and he was just, you know, winging it, he would always do that, you know, the pause, all right? And you listen to Trump, who doesn't need a teleprompter, and he can go on for an hour and a half of just rattling stuff off. And, you know, just what a difference as far as orators. God, I hope I pray to God he becomes president again, him or DeSantis.
Yeah. No,
sure, international effort to pressure.
I couldn't agree with you more, Tom. And, you know, I'm just going to out myself right here, but I was really lucky and fortunate to actually meet the president, President Trump, that is, down at Mar-a-Lago. I was a guest of the Cars down there, and my wife and I had a wonderful evening and dinner, and just by chance, right place at the right time, I was able to meet him. But you're exactly right. And that same night, he was on the Hannity show, and it was funny because we were all having dinner. And he just got up after dinner and, you know, walked around and was saying hi to people. But he said, I got to go do the Hannity show. I'd rather hang out with you guys, but I got to go do the show. But then so my wife and I looked at each other and we rushed up to our room and we listened to Trump on the Hannity show. And he went on for like 45 minutes. And he's not, you know, tripping over himself. He's clear, articulate, knows what he's about to say. And it's wonderfully refreshing in comparison to the, you know, what we have now with the president who won't even give a press conference unless like the din of demand has reached epic proportions, where he'll stand up and take a few quick questions. And then, you know, it's all right, everybody, thanks for coming. And they usher him out or shut the press corps out and whisk him out. But you're 100% right. And I think he will be running again, but, you know, Ron DeSantis would be a great, great choice as far as I'm concerned. I think
Vice
he's,
president.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be amazing. That'd be the dream team, if you ask me. President Trump and DeSantis as the vice president, and then set it up for another 8 years of Ron DeSantis. But are you in Washington, Tom?
No, I've had this phone number since 1999.
Oh,
I hang
okay.
on to stuff. I know it says Vancouver, Washington. I lived out there during the 90s. I left Massachusetts in 92. To Seattle, and lived out there in the Pacific Northwest for 10 years. Did Alaska, Oregon, Idaho, and Washington State. Beautiful part of the country.
Oh,
I was
yeah.
an electrician.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It sure certainly is. But it sounds like you seem to be attracted like a moth to the flame to some of the less desirable states to live in these days. But anyway, Alaska is beautiful. I want to retire there someday, but... Thanks so much for the call, Tom. And yeah, that encounter I had at Mar-a-Lago was truly amazing. And I got to meet the president briefly, and it was pretty funny because we were guests of the Cars, you know, Howie and the mailroom manager had us down. And so I was just coming from the bathroom, actually, and I saw Howie saying hi to President Trump. And then I just kind of hung back. I didn't want to... you know, induce myself into the situation. And he looks over Howie's shoulder and goes, hey, is this guy with you? And Howie turns around and sees me because he didn't even know I was standing there. And he says, oh yeah, this is Toby Larry. He's a gun store owner in Massachusetts of all places. And he says, oh boy, they're coming for your guns, aren't they, Toby? And, and I said, yeah, they are. And he gave me the fist bump. And then he said, but the Bidens are very good for business if you're a gun store owner, aren't they? And I said, yes, they are. There's no doubt about that, sir, they are. And then we had a little bit of small talk. So that was really cool and a very surreal experience I got to have. And I'm grateful to Howie and having me down. It was an amazing night to celebrate our anniversary. So we had a great time. So anyway, that's something we will remember forever. And he wasn't stumbling over words. Let's put it that way. It was an amazing encounter. So, and it's pretty interesting to see that Donald Trump Jr. has just recently come out with his own ministry of support for the Second Amendment. Like he's created this task force to really fight back against all the onslaught of gun control legislation that is being proffered right now by the current administration. But anyway, let's go back to the phones. If you want to call in, it's 844-500-4242. Peter, you're next on the Grace Curley Show. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Doing great.
Just thinking about, you know, the double standards in politics. When Ronald Reagan, at the end of his career, supposedly was going a little senile at the very end, people were so critical of him.
Mm.
But when he got out of office, he penned this... beautiful letter talking about, you know, that he had, you know, obviously his illness, and, you know, it was just beautiful. Ronald Reagan was nowhere close, not even in the same ballpark where Joe Biden is today.
Mm.
And there is no one's, people are, and Republicans should be all over this. This is really, you know, terrible.
I agree.
That they're allowing him to continue in office. And they were so critical of Reagan, and Reagan was, you know, yeah, he might have been a little bit old there at the end, but he was still with it.
Yes.
You know, and not even close to Joe Biden. And plus, Ronald Reagan was one of the best presidents ever. So, but this is just terrible that everyone has to suffer through this presidency.
I agree with you 100%, Peter. And, you know, the contrast is so incredible. Like, if you even remember when Trump was president, like, he'd have his annual physical, and you got Nancy Pelosi saying, oh, he's morbidly obese, and I really fear for the health of our president. Like, give me a break. She needs to look around the party that she's in. And frankly, the contrast is so severe. You know, you've heard the saying that if the Democrats didn't have double standards, they wouldn't have any standards at all. And I think this is a perfect example of that. And, you know, you have a guy who, it's almost elder abuse at this point to put him in front of a microphone. And, you know, you see him on Easter Sunday, and the Easter Bunny has to rein him in. No, sir, we're not going to talk about Afghanistan. You come over here. And they're showing him where to go, how to do it, and Joe Biden telling him how to wave. Make sure you wave. Go ahead, wave. And it's just unbelievable. It is borderline elder abuse at this point. And I think that the double standard that the media has and the cover-up that the media has for this is just unbelievable. If it isn't so obvious to the rest of the world that this is, you know, a clear double standard, not to mention with the president's family, like the whole Hunter Biden thing, and, you know, you got Trump Jr. and Eric Jr. and, I mean, Eric Trump, et cetera, that, you know, they were even attacking Barron for crying out loud when he was president. And it's just unbelievable. But, you know, all of a sudden, this is all hands-off territory, and they've been forced finally to admit, you know, that, oh, the laptop's real. And now that's going to uncork a whole bunch of stuff. I think, frankly, they're just putting it out there to turn on him. That's the only thing I can think of. Because otherwise, they would be looking for solutions to this problem, and they're not. So anyway, Matt, you're next with Grace Curley and Toby Leary sitting in for Grace. So how are you today?
Good, Toby. How are you? No politics today. I just had a quick optic question for
sure.
My SIG 716.
Okay.
So I put a beautiful Leopold 3x1240 on there for getting out to about 600 yards. The problem is I put this scope on, and I can't get my knuckles under the charging handle for my eye relief. You know, obviously you have to set the scope right on the Picatinny rail.
Yep.
I was just calling to see what solution is that? Do they sell a better ring set for a scope like that for an AR-10? Or I was told maybe to buy an extended charging handle. Is that something you'd recommend doing to a firearm?
Yeah, absolutely. That would be my advice, especially if you are happy with the cheek weld and the height of the scope over the bore as it sits now. I personally would probably...
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to make it higher up on the gun just to accommodate a charging handle, because your height over bore issue will be exacerbated. So I would prefer, if it were my setup, I would definitely go with an extended charging handle. I think Bravo Company makes one that is for an AR-10 that is great. And I like the Mod 4. I think it's the mid-size one. They make a large one, a small one, and then a mid-size one. And I believe it's the Type 4, if I'm not remembering incorrectly, but the BCM one is one of my favorite ones. There's also ones by Radians and Timber Creek, and there's a few other ones, but that is one of the better ones. It won't stick out so far that it digs into your chest when you have the rifle slung, if you are slinging your AR-10, and yet you can still grab it with one hand on the side of the scope and rack the action of the gun. And it's also built and designed to be used with one hand, so you won't shear off the that tack latch, if you will, by charging the weapon with one hand. Some of them aren't really designed for that. So try that out first, Bobby, and I would say that's probably your best bet. Excuse me, Matt. All right. Thanks for the call, Matt. Hopefully that works out well. And Bobby, you're next with Toby Leary here on the Grace Curley Show.
Hi, Toby. Thank you. Yep. Hey, Toby, I just have a question. Colt has a new Python. They brought the Pythons back.
Yeah.
And I read in one of the gun magazines that some of them had some issues like with the triggers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Sometimes I don't know if they would malfunction or whatever. And, you know, they're not cheap guns. You know, they're looking around $1,600, $1,700 for one of them.
Right.
And opposed to, like, an older one, like one of the originals back, like, in the 80s and 70s.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you can spend, you know, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 for one of those. But, I mean, as far as the action of the gun, I mean, have you heard if they've corrected that problem? Or
yes.
Or better off this?
Yeah, no, it's a good question, Bobby. And the Colt Python's a phenomenally made gun. That was one of Enrico's favorites from the earlier call. And it is a beautiful firearm. There's no way you can take away from the styling of the Colt Python. And they did have a little bit of manufacturing issues with the first iterations that came out a few years ago. But I've heard that they have corrected all that. And I think if you get a current production one, you'll be fine. I know that we've had several at the shop, and those all worked fine and flawlessly. We didn't have any come back, and they are still a really, really nice gun. Yeah, the original ones will always hold their value. I don't think these are going to really cut into the value of the original Colt Python, but they still did maintain that buttery trigger and the real smooth action. So that's good. So yeah, I think you'll be fine if you can find a current production one. The problem is hard to find. But anyway, all right, we will be back after this with Howie, right? Yep, we'll be doing the Howie introductions coming up soon. So stay tuned for that. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back.
A tiara when I came in here, because if you happen upon it, will you have Lady Pennyface retrieve it and send it post hence?
She's the epitome of class, style, and sophistication. She's Grace Curley.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show, and it is time for the car crossover. And today's car crossover is brought to you by Fairway Financial. Preparation and planning is the key to your retirement future. Visit fairwayfinancial.net. Howie, how are you doing today?
Very good, Toby. Thanks for filling in for Grace.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. We've had a great time today, and I appreciate your trust and confidence in me to pull the levers and switches. So how is it down there today?
It's a very nice day.
I bet it is.
Very warm.
I bet it is. Lots of good news today to talk about, all kinds of fun stuff. We kind of dabbled around the whole Ministry of Truth. I'm sure you'll be talking about that on the car show, but
we didn't have any video yesterday, but now we have some video for the Newsmax audience for today.
Nice.
Mary Poppins. Mary Poppins of misinformation.
Oh my gosh. It's really painful to watch, and all these videos are starting to come out of her singing it, you know, whether it's karaoke or I don't know, it's surreal really to think that this is,
she's really a hideous person. And you know, she doesn't even have like the basic Democrat experience. She never even worked in a campaign. She's just been hanging out in these graduate programs, and now she's an internationally renowned expert on disinformation, probably because she's been spouting it all these years.
How do you get that qualification? I want to know.
That's what I want. I like to know, how do you become a community advocate? I was looking at that guy, the drunk state rep from Worcester.
Right.
He claims that his prior career is community advocate advisor.
It goes along with the Obama era community organizer, right?
Right.
Wouldn't it be part of that same, you know, department?
Exactly. The question I always ask, Toby, is when was the last time you had a job in the dreaded private sector? And usually that's when they start claiming that, you know, being a lifeguard or working for the YMCA or the YWCA is a private sector. No, it's not. It's a nonprofit. There's a big difference.
They might have babysat as a young teenager or something. Mowed some lawns in the neighborhood. Probably didn't last long, though, if they ended up in the public on the public dole.
I want people in there who have provided a service or a product to people. You know, that's who I want in politics, because I think those people are less likely to try to rob me or restrict my freedoms. And you know, the Mary Poppins of misinformation does not pass that litmus test for me.
Information laundering is really quite ferocious. It's when a huckster takes some lies and makes them sound precocious.
It's painful. It really, if you wrote it down in a book, I think a editor would reject it as totally ridiculous and not believable. Like, take that out. Like, that's...
Don't you say, we like this girl, Nina, but, you know, she did say that the Russian laptop was produced by the Trump campaign and was Russian disinformation, and she did totally believe the Russian collusion hoax, and she thinks Christopher Steele is James Bond reincarnated. So, you know, maybe this is not the person we need for the job. And by the way, what is Jen Psaki? Why do you need two of them? You know, they've already have Jen Psaki.
Right. Yeah, she's already been heading up that department. But I guess they think she needs some help now that Twitter might have fallen off the wagon as far as the censorship vehicle.
Now they want
choice.
Elon Musk to testify before the Senate. I think he would handle the senators fairly easily.
I think you're right. Well, thanks so much again, and it's always good talking to you, Howie. I'm sure you're going to have a great show today, and we look forward to Monday, too. So we'll see you then.